Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another exciting broadcast of Deep Calleth Unto Deep. I am your host, Jeremy Lopez, and today I want to talk to you just for a couple of moments concerning Elijah and basically concerning leaving where you are now and moving into destiny. Now, if we read in 1 Kings chapter 17, we begin to understand from verse 1 all the way down to the end of the chapter. We begin to understand this cycle of Elijah, where God had sent Elijah to go by a brook. And when he went to the brook, what had happened was God had told him to go to the brook, and there the raven would feed him bread and flesh. And what's interesting is the Bible says that Elijah went there and stayed there. Now, Elijah, even though he went there to stay there, what's interesting about it is God really never told him to stay there. See, a lot of times in our lives, we find ourselves staying where God says you're just passing through, or staying where we are supposed to just stay there for a season, but not like for longevity's sake. And so what happened here is Elijah found himself at a place where he was staying there. How many know a lot of times that after God provides for you, see, God is Jehovah Jireh. He's the great provider. So what happened was God provided, brought provision and abundance to Elijah the whole time he was by the brook. But after a while, how many know the brook dried up? And when the brook dried up, guess what happened? The ravens, I'm sure, probably felt as if, look, we're not called to give him bread and flesh anymore from the Father. So how many know after a season of time, the brook dried up when God told Elijah to go there? Now, in the interesting time of Elijah's life, even though he saw signs, wonders, and miracles, he saw a lot of amazing things, challenged people, did all this other stuff, prophesied the word of the Lord. But yet, in this time of his life, you could imagine it as being a resting place, maybe a place where, you know what, I'm going by the brook. It's beautiful. God told me to stay here. God fed him, and the Bible makes it plain that God fed him bread and flesh in the morning time. God fed him bread and flesh in the evening. So you could tell there was always a consistent diet that I'm sure Elijah got hooked to doing. Drinking from the water, of the fresh water of that brook, and probably not really thinking about tomorrow because he was just found himself comfortable by that brook. But how many know over a period of time the brook will dry up? And a lot of times in our lives, in fact, every one of you who's listening to the sound of my voice right now in this broadcast, you will find yourself where your brook will dry up. And what happens is a lot of times we find where we are successful in an area, or something is going great, something has just been really flowing, at a certain pace, and we find ourselves every time it starts to go down or it starts drying up, we find ourselves wanting to prophesy water back into that brook, do we not? We find ourselves wanting to be able to bind devils and do all this other charismatic stuff, but the reality of it is a lot of times God is saying, look, I want you to pick up and go on. A lot of times I want you to go on and move on. How many know that when your life is like a journey, and this journey that you're on is never going to stay still or stagnant, which means you are always going to begin to flow. You're always going to begin to move on up from glory to glory. So knowing that, we have to be able to find ourselves realizing that unless God tells us to stay put, unless he tells us to stay put, then guess what? We've got to know that we're just passing through a season. We're passing through a certain particular territory, because a lot of times in our lives, that's what it's called to do, is just basically pass through. And when God wants us to stay still, even though we think God is saying, I want you to stay put, don't do anything, guess what God is not saying? He's not saying don't be productive. He's just saying, I want you to be still and know that I'm God. I want you to be still and cease from the activity in a certain arena or genre that you've been used to moving in, to where I can shift your mind, shift your conscious thinking into a new way of thinking, into a new paradigm, to where that way you can look at your life and realize that I am healthy. And what makes me healthy is I'm moving from one place to another. I'm moving from one paradigm to another, because it's like energy. See, a lot of times people don't understand that you have energy in your home, do you not? And therefore, that energy has to flow. Energy cannot stay still. It's got to flow. So therefore, knowing that, we can look at our lives to realize our body flows, does it not? How many of you right now have ever thought of the fact that your body is in a consistent motion? It's constantly growing older. It's constantly getting brand new skin, and it sheds the old skin. Why? Because God created our body, soul, and spirit to be in a consistency of a flow. And knowing that, guess what? Your body is constantly saying, okay, I'm hungry for breakfast time. You eat for breakfast. And then the flow continues to energy from that food goes through your body and it comes out another way. And then guess what? Your body says, I'm hungry again. Your body stays at a place where it'll be consistently hungry, and because it's going in and it's digesting it and it's going out. And so guess what happens? You will live a life, as long as you are energetic or alive with the heartbeat, your body will constantly want more and then spit it out. Want more, spit it out. Your body will always want you to digest your food, eat your food, so it can be able to pull from the nutrients and the protein and everything it needs. And then all of a sudden, guess what? It'll reject the stuff that doesn't need to be in your body. And so when you look at your life, you realize your body automatically knows, folks. Your body automatically knows and understands that in order to keep myself alive, I've got to be able to feed myself energy. I've got to have energy, which is what we call food. I've got to have some kind of substance that keeps this body alive, moving, and breathing. And guess what? Your body's always moving. Even when you're asleep at nighttime, your body's always moving, folks. You know, your lungs are always breathing in and breathing out air and oxygen. Your heart is always constantly beating, even when you're asleep. You know, your blood is constantly flowing. There are things that are constantly, like energy, flow within your body. And so God created the human body to constantly be in a flow or movement. And basically, we could say it this way: your body is constantly going from glory to glory, or constantly flowing from one stage to another. You know, it's the same principle that when we eat something that is unhealthy for us, let's say, for example, something that maybe is poisonous or toxic or, you know, or moldy, our body automatically knows to reject a substance, does it not? It either throws it up or gives you the chills, you get a fever, because your body goes into that place where it's fighting off. It's starting to fight off that which you've put into your body. It fights off a thing that it knows is not good for it, and so your body automatically begins to resist it and fight it the best it can, because your body is in a constant stage of movement, and it knows what's good for you and it knows what's bad for you, and it will tell you. It'll let you know. It'll let you know through high blood pressure. It'll let you know by gaining a lot of weight that you're abusing me, you're not treating me right. Your body will know by either you, pardon the expression, but having diarrhea or throwing up, that it didn't like or receive what it was that you fed it, because it wasn't healthy for it. It didn't pull the proper nutrients from it, because it obviously maybe was toxin or old or whatever. So if the body knows that, then guess what? How much more, folks, should your mind and your lifestyle be of a constant, consistent flow, moving on further? And yet we don't go from just the same. We go from one plane into a higher plane, and then into a higher plane. It's brick by brick, piece by piece. It's line upon line, precept upon precept, from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from dimension to dimension. God is always progressing us into a higher place of living and a higher place to understand more about who He is in our lives. And so therefore, you've got to be able to know, body, soul, and spirit, what is healthy. And what is healthy is to flow like energy. What is healthy is to leave your brook. What is healthy is to know that when God says, later on in 1 Kings chapter 17, later on, is understanding when God says, I want you to get up and go. I want you to get up and go. And when you get up and go to Zarephath, the word Zarephath means refinement or purification. Because God wanted Elisha to know that it's healthy for you, that when you go and you come and you're in a consistent flow of movement, it'll begin to purify you, detox you. It'll begin to bring you a place of refinement. And what's great about this story is, as he began to go into, when God told him to get up and go to Zarephath, that means that when you progress, how many know it's healthy to progress? How many know that when you jog, how many know when you walk, when you go to the gym, you burn off excess fat, you sweat a lot. Why? Because it's detoxifying your body. It's making your heart beat and race more, because your body needs to be able to go in that constant flow. And so as you walk, you begin to what? Lose weight. As you run, you begin to lose weight. What causes you, what's one of the things what causes you to gain weight? Sitting there being lazy, not moving, being couch potato, not flowing. Why? Because you were created to flow. You were created to move. You were created to go. And so because of that, what do we do in our lives? We stay by the brook because we think it's comfortable. It's awesome. We love it because I'm being fed what I want to be fed. It's comfort. You know, I love my job because why? It's comfort. I love where I live because it's comfort. I don't want to change my ministry or anything else because it's comfort. Because once we know about a thing, It empowers us more, but then after a while, what served you no longer serves you, folks. And you've got to remember that when something once served you, it will no longer serve you in this day. You cannot expect what served you yesterday to serve you today. It will not do it. God did not create the universe to do that, to work like that. That's why he says, give us this day our daily bread. You were called to literally get before the Lord and ask him daily and momently and every second and every hour, without being religious about it, basically, God, what is it that you want where I can move into it, you know, and stay and then move into something else and stay as long as you want me to and then move into something else and then move on. And it's that place where we understand that you need to be in a consistent flow. And so God told him to go to Zarephath. And when he began to go to Zarephath, he began to be refined. Did you hear that? He began to be refined. And that's where he saw the signs, wonders, and miracles. He began to see the dead boy raised again. He began to take the very thing that the widow woman and her son trusted in, which is the last morsel of meal and oil. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. Here's, you know, don't sit here and bake a cake and die from it. You know, that you're talking about, you're wanting to have meal and oil and you and your son are going to take it and die from it. No, I'll tell you what, you take that and you make me a cake. Make me a cake. Why? Because God will literally cause and require you, listen to me, because once again, we're talking about the law of movement. We're talking about a flow, like an energy flow. And he required him. God will require you to give your last morsel. He will require you to give the very thing that you're holding on to in comfort, the very thing that you feel you're trusting in, the very last thing you might own. Why? Because it's one of the last things that God is saying, I'm still needing to create a void in you, to remove everything in your life, that I can create a void to where the Holy Spirit can come and hover over the waters in you, like in Genesis, that the Holy Spirit can come and hover over you. Why? So I can be able to create a vacuum to suck out all the old, to initiate and bring forth the new. That's why the Bible says, open up ye ancient gates, let the King of glory, may he come in. Why? Because God wants to come into your life and shift and rearrange from season to season, to where you can go from glory to glory, and he begins to bring new wine to you, and new wine requires you to get rid of old wineskins, because he can't pour wine into old wineskins. You just can't do it. You cannot put new wine in old wineskins. So therefore, God is letting you know, even as your body knows, it's got a flow. It rejects what it doesn't need and it tries to fight it off, and it constantly has a flow of new skin coming over old skin, or old skin sheds off, and then you get a new lining in your stomach. Your body goes to transformation after transformation daily to begin to shed the old, that it can embrace the new every single day of your life. And so what makes us think that our mind, our spirit is not as equally important or even more important? Because God is saying, I want you to progress and go further, deeper, and higher into things that I have required all of creation to do. And you've got to be able to understand you are in a constant movement, a constant state of fighting off the old, embracing the new, getting rid of the moldy, embracing the fresh new things. Behold, I do a new thing. So today, remember that you're not called to stay at the brook. And when your life falls in shambles, here's what you do, folks. Some people would say to you, well, don't just exit out of everything you do. There's a difference between exiting out and not finishing and finalizing or wrapping up and bringing an ending to something, as opposed to just finding yourself escaping because you drop your responsibility, you can't handle it, and you move on to something new. That's not what God is talking about. God is talking about when you know that, you know what, this has ran its course, and by maturity and responsibility and knowing what God has for me, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to go and wrap it up, because I'm not going to fret about it. I recognize it's God, not the devil. You know, so many times people blame the devil for really dumb, idiotic things. And I don't mean this, you know, disrespectful, but it's just true. So many people blame the devil for dumb, idiotic things that is not even in the Bible that says the devil does these kind of things to you. And so we have to understand that the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh, folks. That's the scripture principle. And so when you understand that God it wants you to be healthy, then he will require you, or he will do it himself, to remove what does not need to be there. And guess what? God won't have to come down and do it every time if we grow up into sonship and leave our childishness, our childish ways of of screaming and begging and just making God do it. God says, I can't, you know, one thing that God let me know years ago, he says, I can't utilize you. I can't use you if you don't take a responsibility to know yourself when the old has done, it's ran its course, that you need to get rid of it. And once you understand that and you let it go, then I can bring something quicker to you that's of new and refreshing for a new season, for a new healthy lifestyle for you. But if you have to make me come down every time to remove the old from you because you're not mature enough and responsible enough to do it yourself, then it's going to require more time, more energy, and you're going to have to be able to go through the threshing floor. God will have to take you through the threshing floor. You remember Ruth and Boaz? Ruth had to go, before she married Boaz, she had to go through the threshing floor. You need to read that in the Word of God. She went to the threshing floor first. Why? Because the threshing place was a place of, we could say spiritually, the separation of wheat and tares. We could say spiritually the positive from the negative. You know, the wood, hay, and stubble was removed as opposed to the divine nature in her. So you have to understand that if God does it every time, you're going to have to go through it with him. In other words, he's not going to gracefully just remove it. He's going to have to put you to the threshing floor to where you learn from the process. And folks, you don't want God dragging you through a threshing floor, do you? You don't want God every time dragging you through a situation where you're wanting him to do it, but yet out of a lack of maturity and responsibility, you allow him to do it, and you're going to end up, you know, being dragged basically through all the processes. Because see, if God has to do it, here's the idea, folks. If God has to do it in your life, then he will take you through processes. The processes of God is what you will go through. If you do it yourself, and when you know since you know the voice of the Good Shepherd, and you understand through maturity that, you know what, it's okay. This business has ran its course. This season has ran its course. I need to move on over now into doing what God wants me to do. And when you do that, guess what? You bypass the processes of God because you're able to walk in the flow of his voice, listening to the voice of the Good Shepherd, knowing that you're in a constant state of flowing and moving in his voice. And guess what? You begin to move into obedience better than sacrifice. Are you with me? Like the scripture talks about, you move into obedience because you just know from a healthy standpoint of view, because you walk in the Spirit, that it is time for me to be refreshed and renewed. It's time for me to shift the old and embrace the new every single time. And you bypass the processes of God. And folks, trust me, you know, the processes of God, you don't want to have to go through, because everybody in our lives have been through the processes of God. And there are times and stages in your life where you will continue. But we can bypass those a lot of times by listening to the voice of God, allowing him to say, you know the voice, Good Shepherd. I've already given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. So go ahead and live the life in me you need to live. Be the me in the earth and do what you need to do. Live in a constant state of creating things. Live in a constant state of shifting and changing things from negative to positive, from hellish to heavenish, if I can use that terminology. You know, constantly begin to build the kingdom of God, not just inside of you, but on the outside of you, transforming and bringing transformation to everything that lives, breathes, and moves in a healthy, fun, laughter, but yet powerful way. And that way, guess what? Wherever your foot shall trod, God's truly given it to you because of the fact that he trusts you with every step that you take. He trusts you because you're being led by the Spirit, as opposed to God having to, quote-unquote, not that he comes down, but we're going to use that terminology, not to where God has to come down and say, okay, here it goes again. I'm going to have to, you know, help you along your way. I'm going to have to push you along your way, or I'm going to have to put, you know, make you do this. And guess what? We bypass that when we understand the goodness of God that says, look, you're a co-creator in me. Have fun with this life. Just understand from a kingdom biblical principle mentality that you should never get stuck in a rut. You should never get stuck in the old. You should never allow yourself to be in a place where you're vulnerable in the sense of feeling that you're comfortable, so you let your guard down and you just sort of enjoy the comfort of life. But instead, you move on with life and you begin to grab the reins of life to control it in the area you need to control by inventing, creating, co-creating, displaying, manifesting. And that way, guess what? You will live a happy life. You will live a wonderful life. And that's what God requires for us to do. So if you're in a constant state of warfare and a constant state of always, oh God, talk to me, you know, tell me when to do this, God, tell me what to do here, God, then if you are, then you need to reevaluate your life. That's not the Christian walk, folks. A person who's always in constant warfare, I would say, truly does not understand the principle and the lifestyle of Jesus Christ. Not at all. Because you have to be able to be in a flow to know if you're in a constant state of warfare, something is wrong with you. It's not because, you know, the devil's attacking you because, you know, oh, poor me, I must be so holy and wonderful, and I've had so many people throughout the years come to me and say, oh, I've got such a big mission upon my life, that's why the devil's always attacking me. Folks, seriously, let's get off our pride and we're so better than everybody else and our sacrifices that we're making before God, and God just looks down and says, poor baby, let me honor you because the devil's always after you. Let's move past childish things, folks. Let's move past childishness and get on over into living the spirit life and transitioning into living the voice of God's voice, moving into that perfect will and sustaining it by keeping it in an energetic flow of going from glory to glory and doing what God wants us to do and living the obedient life, as opposed to constantly God having to come and push you. And the image I get in my mind is the idea of a man or woman walking their dog and on a leash, and all of a sudden the dog just sits still on the sidewalk, and they're having to pull that leash and say, come on, get up, Rover, come on. And, you know, and that's what God does to us. I don't want God to have to push me or pull me because I'm sitting here going, God, I won't move until you tell me to move, God. I won't budge until you tell me to move, God. And God is saying, do you not realize you have a treasure in your earthen vessel? You already have the power of my spirit moving in you. My spirit's leading you. You have the same spirit that raised me from the dead. You have resurrection power in you. You're co-creator. You've been given the mind of Christ. I mean, what more do you want? If I have a mind now, let's say, for example, I am totally I'm just totally a heathen. I'm just an atheist. I don't believe in God, and I just reject anything that there possibly is of spirituality. Let's just go there for a moment. Guess what? I still, because of God's grace, has given me a mind to get up in the morning at a certain time, get in the shower, brush my teeth, get ready. So I take up responsibility for getting ready, take up responsibility for knowing that I have a job, and guess what? I can actually sustain a job outside of God. I can still make money outside of God. I can still, you know, drive nice cars, nice homes. I can still do all the things I need to do. I could go party. I could go live up the life of whatever it is that the world does. I can do anything I want to outside of God completely. Would I reap what I sow one day? Sure I will. But the idea is understanding that us as Christians, folks, we don't even live a life of joy or happiness. We're too busy trying to fight the devil and embrace, you know, a testimony of, you know, let me testify because God gave me $10 I found on the street this week, and I could apply it to my $200, you know, power bill. Bless God. And I want somebody to say, folks, sit down. That's not a testimony. That's a disgrace to God, because God wants you to begin to go forward and be victorious and begin to say, don't ask for me. Don't try to scrape for dimes and nickels and pennies. Make the money. Work your mind and not your behind. Work yourself up the corporate ladder, because guess what? You are 10 times wiser than the children of this world. You've got the mind of Christ in you. So therefore, the mind of Christ in you, you should be the corporate people, folks. You should be the heads, not the tails. You should not be scraping for pennies. That's what the world should do. If you're truly a Christian, you should be able to know that I'm going to press in, plow the ground, and make life happen for me, because I am amazingly wise, wiser than any non-Christian in the world. And yet, guess what? Now, here's the challenge for you. Then if you believe that, then live it out. Don't expect God to come down and do it for you, because God is saying, look, I died and said it is finished for you to be able to do it now. And so let's live this life out. Get up from that brook, folks. Quit prophesying water back in your comfort zone. Get up and let's move on into this amazing, glorious, fun, exciting, life-changing life that God's given us, that we can manifest the kingdom in every shape, form, or fashion. Do you know how you manifest the kingdom? By getting that and receiving that promotion that takes you to a corporate place, a management place, owning your own business, getting them more than enough money that you need, living and sustaining a life where you're the one that people wants to follow and not the one they want to run from because you're so religious, always speaking the terminology and the jargon, but you can't even go out to a restaurant with them because you can't even afford to eat with your friends who you consider are not that strong of Christians. It's a disgrace, folks. We should be able to be the ones that are be able to say, hey, I'm not only going to go out to dinner with you, but I want to buy your dinner tonight. How many of you honestly go out to dinner and you complain that you barely can afford this restaurant or the menu, oh, it's so expensive here? I would be disgraced I would be disgraced as a Christian to be in that type of arena, because it's a disgrace knowing that he died for me to have an abundance of life. And so the challenge is not with the devil, I'm fighting the devil, the challenge is with me to start living out what I really believe in the mind of Christ and make life work for me. If your job doesn't pay enough money, go get another job. Create the income you need, folks. Create the income you're needing in your life. Create the atmosphere of your house. My house inside, it's spotless. It's clean. I mean, you can eat off the floor. You know why? Because I have set in my mind that I want my house to have nice things in it. Fairly new things that I know that a king could be able to live in. And that's what I do. I don't live in a junky place. I don't live in things that are nasty, disgusting, or I don't want to clean, or I don't want to ever buy anything new for me, because I'm disgracing me as a king in God's amazing kingdom. So I find myself at a place where everything must be done in excellence and integrity, and knowing that God says, if you need to make money, son, go make money. Create a new product to make money. Put out a new book to make money. Get a job that pays more. Do what I've told you to do by my mind, which is always creative, to where you can live the life that I have died that you can have. Here's the last thing I'll leave with you. If God has given us the mind of Christ, folks, the mind of Christ, we're forgetting. The mind of Christ is the one who told his disciple, hey, I'll tell you what I'll do. I don't have time to worry about paying my taxes. I'll tell you what I'll do. You go down there to the river. When you do, you're going to find a fish with a gold coin in his mouth. And when you get that, go and pay my taxes for me, because I don't have time to worry about frivolous things like that. And that's the idea, folks, is when you're worried about frivolous things, the Bible says it's called little foxes that spoil the vine. When you're consumed and concerned always about little foxes, little things that Jesus said, look, let tomorrow take care of itself. Don't worry about your taxes. I mean, my goodness, there's a coin in the fish's mouth that pays mine, so I don't have to worry about it. Because that's the mentality God wants us to have. And it might take you a while to get there. Trust me, folks. It might take you a while to get there. But you set your mind on things above and not on things beneath, knowing that you already are the wealth in Jesus, mentally, spiritually, physically, that you already can have all things that pertain to life and godliness. And if you don't like your life, here's the idea. Change it. No one's got you locked in a jail cell, folks. God doesn't have you locked in a jail cell. God would never tell you to sit still and not make any money and not be productive. That's the same as God saying, I'm putting sickness upon you and I want you to stay sick until you die. Could you imagine God doing that? He doesn't. You know why? Because he's saying, I want you to live the abundance of my life, be able to progress yourself into the place where you have everything that I've died for you to have. And you know what? It might take you time. And if you fail, it's okay. There's so much powerful grace there. But the idea is, at least you're trying. At least you're making something of your life to say, I'm going to make it happen. And that's the idea, folks. Make your life happen. Make it count. Leave that brook. It was great during that day, but it no longer serves you anymore. So here's what I want to close with, is I want you to do me a favor. Many people ask me, you know, Brother Jeremy, I love your broadcast, I love your teachings, your books, but what, you know, tell me something that can really benefit me. And I have a lot of courses out that I talk about this kind of stuff, but what I do is I actually teach you and bring the applications of how to do it. And my broadcast don't talk a lot about how to do it, but a lot of my courses tell you how to do these things. As a man who owns businesses, I'm telling you, I can tell you and give you the keys to do these things. So I want to encourage you. Many of you have heard me talk about the School of Thought and Visualization, Imagination before, and it's a powerful course. And I'm going to tell you again about that one until you're able to get it and live it out, folks. These are biblically principles and verses from the Bible in this course that I can teach you and train you how to attract things into your life. how to do the things you need to do, how to start thinking from a thought point of view, how to utilize your imagination, how to visualize. That is getting a picture form in your mind of what God says you're going to have this one day. And you start seeing it for yourself and believing it for yourself. And so go to the website, identitynetwork.net. And when you do, you're going to see in the search engine at the top, put in School of Thought. That's all you have to do is put in School of Thought. Press search, the search button. When you do, it'll pull up the School of Thought, Visualization, Imagination. Order your download today of it. Get a complete course as a download. It's very inexpensive to do that. It's actually well under $100 for a course that used to be $300. And we sell them every single day, all day long. Because it's one of my number one courses, because I'm telling people, when your life is changed like the woman at the well, you'll go and tell all. You'll tell everybody you know of about what just changed your life. And so go and order your course today. You can get it as a full complete digital download course, or you can order the hard copies through the mail. It comes with teaching modules. It comes with a book or an ebook, whichever format you get it in. It comes with all the things that you need to empower you, to teach you how to transform your body, soul, and spirit. So order the School of Thought, Visualization, and Imagination today. I promise you, you will not regret it. So if you want to call our office to order it, you can call or go on the website to order it. The number at the office is 205-362-7133. That's 205-362-7133. God bless you. We'll talk to you soon.